You're tuned into Madiba's Radio, broadcasting live from Nelson Mandela University.
I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have carried the idea of a democratic and free society, in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an idea for which I am prepared to die.
Nelson Mandela University. Change the world. You're tuned into Madiba's Radio, changing the world one voice at a time.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Call Out Podcast. You are connected to the Call Out Podcast, of course, here on Madiba's Radio, where we connect, inform, and engage with you. It's your favorite presenter of all time. It's your host, KD, formerly known as Karabo Ntsoane Daniels. Of course, today I'm not alone. I am with...
Never alone. Your daily dose of sugar, but don't take me in too many doses because you might have diabetes and we don't have money for medical aid. And as per usual, we'll be discussing some riveting topics today. Tell us, Karabo, what do we have in store for our listeners at home?
So today we have, you know, the Trump and Elon Musk relations. You know, we're going to speak onto that. We're also going to speak more about, you know, the bill, obviously.
That's yes,
the
yes,
big,
yes.
beautiful bill, you know.
They're beefing,
So we're just going to, you know, take a deeper dive into that as well. And then we're also going to be talking about, you know, what's happening in South Africa, the Mthatha floods.
Oh, that's you so know, devastating.
It's so tragic.
So,
so tragic. But I'm sure you guys missed me last episode.
Miss President, you know, she was interflying international, guys. Don't worry. She's back now.
I'm back. And I am genuinely sorry for leaving you guys each time. I'm back now. And, you know, it's good.
That's true. That's true.
Tell
that to my ex-girlfriends.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm kidding.
Ooh, that took a sharp curve.
I'm kidding, guys. Yeah.
That took a sharp curve. Okay. So, Wisanani, let us dive into the Trump and Elon Musk relations. You know, let's break it down into pieces.
What's really happening in America, Karabo? What's happening there?
Okay, so why and what broke down Trump and Elon Musk relationship? Because we know that they had a very, 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 very strong relationship.
Tom and Jerry, Bonnie and Clyde.
Like it's Bonnie and Clyde. So... the once close alliance between Donald Trump and Elon Musk has unraveled dramatically in the year 2025, culminating in a public feud that has captivated political and business observers. So, Ish, what do you think about... let me rather rephrase my question. What are your thoughts on their relationship last year compared to now, Trump and Elon?
I mean, for me, I low-key kind of like... imagine that this would type of thing would happen because you can't have two bulls in one crowd because it will never happen like that, especially with the egos of these
two people.
Money, they both have power, they love power, they love money.
Yes,
and the other one is looking to benefit from the other one, and the other one is looking to benefit from the other one. So it's like something like this was bound to happen. So, but I'm unsure. Like, tell the viewers what were the actual events that led up to such a breaking up between these two guys.
So the key events leading to the fallout, the criticism of the One Big Beautiful Bill. So Musk publicly de-announced Trump's signature legislative package, calling it a disgusting abomination. And due to its cuts to electric vehicle subsidies and social programs. Now, I don't know why Musk would say that publicly about a whole president of a country.
And here's the thing about the big beautiful bill, Anne. It's that bill, when you enter into presidency in America, you have to have one bill that the whole Senate approves of, or the whole parliament approves of. That's like, it's the foundation of your presidency for the next 5 years. So for Elon Musk to come out and say it's a disgusting abomination, hey, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
And yet, because that's a president of the whole country.
Woke up on the wrong side of the bed. For real, for real. Yeah.
So Trump also retaliated, and his response was, you know, Trump accused Musk of ingratitude, claiming, you know, he would have won Pennsylvania in the 2024 election without Musk's support. And also, let's get into the Epstein files.
Aibo.
Can you tell me, you know, what are you... Yeah, tell me more about that.
These two people are dissing each other, like, basically. So now, Elon Musk is like an ex-wife that's
not an ex-wife.
Showing all the dirty dishes, the skeletons. So he basically showed a video of President Trump going into Jeffrey Epstein Island. Now, the Jeffrey Epstein Island is basically an island that was owned by Jeffrey Epstein, this American billionaire who was accused of pedophilia, sexual harassment, and human trafficking, among a plethora of other issues. Basically, all these A-listers in America would go to that island and experience pleasures. As a pleasure,
is that like an island he owns? Or
it's an island that he owned.
Is he still alive, Jeffrey?
I'm not sure, but I know that his legacy, dirty legacy, lives on. It's not a matter of if he's alive or not, but then it's a matter of, like, those things are still in effect even now. Those things are still happening even now, you know?
Did he have people working for him?
He was a billionaire. He had money, so he had an island.
Exactly. It was remote.
People would come there. There's a list of
Oprah Winfrey.
Hey.
No way.
Everyone
has
been there. Trust and believe. It's very... But then for Elon Musk to say now you were there, to release, it just shows that, like, he really wants Trump to feel something. He wants to make him mad. There's just proper beef. It's crazy.
So, yeah. So Trump was, you know, Musk actually had allegations, you know, about, you know, Trump being involved.
God.
And Musk further escalated tensions by suggesting that Trump had connections to Jeffrey Epstein's sharing footage of the two at a 1992 event.
Here's the thing, though. You know what offset this thing? Let's go back to this, the One Big Beautiful Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why the One Big Beautiful Bill is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a bill, Yona, in itself, right? That Trump wants to rather put out and make it the driving force for his presidency and initiative. Now, in like Elon Musk to this One Big Beautiful Bill is that Yona, it's going to attack a tax policy, and it extends the Trump era tax cuts, introduces in new incentives like a mega savings, and exempts tips income from taxes. Now, there's also going to be healthcare cuts because of this bill. It adds strict work requirements for Medicaid, likely removing millions of coverage, meaning that American healthcare is so horrible.
Now it's going to be
even more horrible because of this bill. Now, when how it affects Elon Musk is that Yona, because of how rigid it is, the Tesla the bill gets federal tax credits for electric vehicles. They hurt Tesla sales and the prospects of income within Tesla markets. So meaning that, because of its restrictions of that bill, Tesla sales even now have dropped less to like 15%. Imagine 15% of a $1 trillion company. That's a lot of money. That's why Elon Musk is so mad. Because he feels like President Trump actually betrays him. Because the bill affects energy. because Tesla uses solar energy and all of those things. So it affects that. It restricts the capability of Elon Musk's company being able to actually work. I don't want to get into like too scientific about it and lose our viewers. But then basically what this bill does is basically saying like, if me and Karabo were together in this whole thing of running for presidency, and then she gets the presidency, and then suddenly now she decides when she does get the presidency. Now, she got the presidency because of my man, right? I'm Elon Musk in this situation. Now, when I get there, the money that I make is off of the many businesses that I have. Now, you get to the president, to the president's office, and you're like, do you know how you make money? I'm going to make laws that prohibit you from making more money.
That's Trump.
Gimbo. That's Trump.
Why Engolini?
I don't know. Maybe he wants to limit the power of Elon Musk.
Because I've also read something online that Trump akafuni like Tesla thengiswe in the US as well.
Kaloku chonga. Here's the thing. When you have someone on who has power, okanye who is a threat to you, you want to neutralize them as possible and as quickly as it is.
Yeah, definitely.
Trump maybe feels like, hey, this guy, if I give this guy more power and more money, more money, then he might have... Trump maybe he doesn't want to be a puppet for Elon Musk, and he actually wants to stand on his own. Now that he's already used Elon Musk's money and is the president, he's like, I get dog.
It's crazy to me
to see that something like this. It shows that how these two people are so disloyal to one another.
Yes, definitely.
They're just out for their own power.
Mm.
They're just out. And we did say this a couple of weeks in our shows.
Yes.
That this relationship will not last at all. But do you think when I got up with that, there's a possible reconciliation and them getting back together? Oh, man.
You know, despite the intense public feud, Musk has shown signs of de-escalation, you know, deleting critical posts and expressing support for Trump's stance on certain issues. However, though, the long-term nature of their relationship remains uncertain. And also, you know, the breakdown of, you know, the Trump-Musk alliance underscores the complexities of political and business relationships, highlighting the challenge of you know, balancing personal egos, policy differences, and public expectations. But there is potential. I think...
Those two.
Okay. You know, I feel like I'm contradicting myself now. I feel like, I mean, as much as I would like to believe that, you know, there's still, you know, a place in my heart that thinks maybe, you know.
Oh, they'll get back together.
You know, because there were such good, you know, close people back then. Yeah, but. But,
I don't think me is going to happen, honestly. And if it is, because here's my thing. I know a lot of people call me a conspiracy theorist, but I don't know if I even said that right. But then, I don't even believe that they're beefing. Low-key.
Maybe it's for the...
It's for the media.
You know, that, it's for the, that could this, actually...
It's, these are politics.
Politics
are very important.
You actually have
these
a point.
People could be just making it look like...
For fame, for more fame.
Not even for more fame, but not just for more fame. But then for also to get people talking, as you're saying, for fame. But then also make it look like they are distant.
Maybe it's distraction. Maybe they're plotting something.
Exactly. When state capture this one, they want to make it look like, in my eyes, that they have a bad relationship. When they have a bad relationship. So now we can't say stuff like, yo, Elon Musk and Donald Trump, yo, they're running America together. Yo, no. They're running America together. They want to make it look like they're not friends. Thus, Trump is his own president and Elon Musk is his own billionaire person. But no. If you really think about it, politics are played and obviously it needs a sacrifice. Hey, and Tesla stocks are the sacrifice in this sense. But as you know, them fighting, it actually benefits Abo, Jeff Bezos, all these other people that are in opposition of Trump.
Who is the current, you know, richest man, like number one richest man in the world as of 2025?
I have no idea, actually. I think it was probably Elon Musk is probably up there.
Yazi yeah, Bill Gates waye ngunumber 1 qha ke sana
wadlulwa. Yeah, Bill Gates, I don't think he's been innovative as much in the last 5 years, sorry to say. But I know he's that guy though. He's that guy.
Yeah, in first place we have Elon Musk.
Exactly.
In second place we have Jeff Bezos, mm-hmm. and then in third place we have Mark Zuckerberg.
Mhm.
Ah, you know we Uwile, kubani lo mfana sana tete, Bill Gates, he's not even in the top five.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
is not even in the top five.
He hasn't
five.
Been as innovative at all. He hasn't
For real?
Been innovative. He has not. He has not been innovative at all. I think his focus has been on the Bill Gates Foundation, helping kids
Elon.
Around Africa, around the world, blah, 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 all of those things. I think that's been his focus. For real.
What does Jeff Bezos do? In like what is he doing?
He's the head of Amazon.
Oh yes,
yeah,
yes,
he's the head
you're
of
right.
Amazon. Yeah, he's the
and
head
then guess Amazon Mark. Yes,
yeah.
Amaz.
Oh Mark.
Mark no WhatsApp. No.
Konanga Instagram.
Hey,
mix it. Upa.
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 And he's so young.
Yeah.
He is so young.
Yes. Yes, I guys, now I want to be in that list.
And Sabaweli. And Sabaweli. Like, on a serious note, though, if you would wake up as, let's say, if you would wake up as a billionaire, what's the first thing you would do?
You know, my friends mm-hmm. ask the same question.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. that if you had all the money in the world, what would you do mm-hmm. after? And my answer was, I'm an artist. Me, I just sit home and play instruments and create music and write poetry and read all the books I can read because I don't need to go outside and do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'll take that money also and help my community, first
yes,
of all.
Yes, definitely.
Shout out to Ward 41, where I'm from. I definitely use that money to help my people.
Mm.
But then, as a creative, I wouldn't even be in the workspace. I'd use my time as a creative and also to solve social issues
mm-hmm.
of poverty and all of those things. Those two things would make me feel fulfilled.
Oh, that's
what about
nice.
You? What would you do?
I feel like you and I are such different people, mm-hmm. and I feel like I'm going to get cancelled for what I'm about to say,
yeah,
but guys, don't cancel me.
I
you know? I would buy clothes.
Of course, I'd buy clothes too. What do you mean?
I would buy, like, the first thing I would, because I remember, like, I asked you, what's the first thing you would do? The first thing I would do is I would go and buy clothes, buy hair, buy shoes, buy this, buy that, buy bags.
Red
that
bottom
is,
heels.
Period. That is exactly what I would do.
Get nails as a burgundy.
But yeah, I would definitely, I'm not ashamed, I would spoil myself and didn't make sure, but, because, mind you, I haven't been, I've been living a life that doesn't have, and the middle class life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have exposure to that kind of money. So obviously, before focusing on other things. So yeah, the first thing I would do is I would spoil myself because I deserve it, period.
That's true.
I deserve everything and
more. Wanna, you deserve it.
You deserve the best. What can you go? Just tell you go like a sign.
Yo.
No. Can I actually explain? You know, this song traumatized me. I know it's a church song,
what?
But it actually traumatized me. Like, on a real. So my dad used to have a church, right? My dad used to have a church. So my dad used to have a church, right?
What was the name?
I don't remember. Like, I actually don't remember. I was like 5 years old, or you know. So piano and stuff like that. So while the piano is being set up, my dad will always be like, "You deserve the best. You deserve the best. And now thinking back, every time I think of that song, it triggers something in me. Like, but he had bad vocals, Kate. That's one. But
wow.
No, like, on a real, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, what I adore the most is that, you know, like, that was his favorite song, you know, while he had a church. Guys, don't get it wrong. My dad is still very much alive.
Yeah.
It's just that we're talking in past tense. He doesn't have a church anymore,
yeah.
You know. So, you know. Who and his bad vocals. And Gesana uyacula ngoku and a voice in that. Okay, he lost. Uyacula kodwa. Love him loads. Love him so much. So
your mom knows how to sing. That's why you know how to sing.
No, actually, you know, I don't know who knows how to sing in my family, but me and my cousins can sing. Three of my cousins. Crazy. So it's me and my other two cousins.
What's the name of your cousin? Can I have their numbers?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
But I'm kidding.
I've never actually taken, you know,
singing classes.
Singing classes or singing, like, seriously. It's a thing I do, like, as a hobby. I sing in the shower. I sing when I'm stressed. I sing when I don't know what to say. For example, if you could, you know, this is something I actually used to do, Visanani, right? When I don't have a response to a question that you might be asking me. Okay, ask me a question. Ask me a question.
Who scored the first goal for South Africa in 2010?
In his Sega. I would just sing and didn't I even, because I don't know what to say.
Coping mechanism.
That is literally my coping mechanism. Yeah, that's crazy to me.
I feel like with coping mechanisms, I just laugh, come back at everything.
You're one of those people.
I just laugh at it. If it stresses me, laugh at it. If I'm happy about it, fake.
You know?
If Jay is confused, fake. Just laugh at it. But then I think we're digressing. That's a bit about us, your host.
Yeah.
But then what's been happening? I want us to focus on what's been happening inside of South Africa.
Okay.
With President Cyril Ramaphosa, just calling for a national dialogue. Now, President Ramaphosa has called for a national dialogue, but my question is, yes, we know the issues of South Africa. Do we need to talk about the issues of South Africa more?
Definitely, yes.
After we talk about them, what are we going to do?
That's the question in hand.
Exactly.
That's the question in hand.
We know the crime. We know the GPP.
How long are we going to keep talking for?
We know this. We know the solutions. But then we're not implementing this. But then I really want to see how this national dialogue is going to go. And I don't want to heckle it before it even starts. But then tell us, Karabo, I heard there was some devastating news out of Mthatha. What happened?
Yes, guys. So, it's sad. I'm sure most of you guys have seen on the news. If you're a news watcher or a news listener, I'm sure you've pretty much heard it's quite trending currently. So the situation in Mthatha is dire. The Mthatha River has burst its banks, causing flash flooding in several areas of the city. Homes and businesses have been inundated, and many residents have been forced to evacuate their properties.
That sounds horrible. I mean, have there actually been other casualties or injuries in this whole thing?
Unfortunately, there have been casualties. Nine school children. So what happened, let me explain that to you. So as they were walking to school, because Yaya's Muslim Mthatha, you know, there's rural areas in Mthatha as well. So it's like I've heard that Bebe Yamba, you know, walking to school where Keba Thathwa yilo flood, you know, so it's quite unfortunate. But several people,
these are the first rains, even.
Exactly.
These are the first rains. We're not even in the 15th of June.
Exactly. Lendo Ndicho.
The rains are like this. Imagine Kogo. You know when rain is saying goodbye, when winter is saying goodbye, the rain just comes hard.
Because it's like, bye.
Yo.
Let's make a mark. Leave a mark. Sure. Yeah, let's make sure. So, yeah. But, you know, several people have also been injured and they're also receiving treatment at local hospitals. The authorities are working hard to rescue those trapped in flooded areas and provide assistance to affected families.
Yeah. And then what is the municipality? Are there, like, any reliefs that are going on? Any, like, emergency services? Are they doing enough to help the people that are affected by this?
I mean, the South African National Defense Force and the emergency services are on the ground, you know. Okay. They're working tirelessly to rescue people and distribute food, blankets, and other essential supplies, obviously. Yeah. However, the sheer scale of the disaster means that more resources are needed to cope with the situation, you know. And I think By investing in infrastructure and the government outreach, the impact of the flood Mthatha could have been reduced or avoided. You know, okay, not avoided. Let's stick with reduced. Yeah, well. So the community could have been better prepared also to respond to the disaster. Yeah, yeah, well. So I don't know. I feel like it wouldn't have been this bad if the government, you know, had fixed some stuff in the town of Mthatha. Yeah, you know, what do you think?
I think I read about this story, and now that you're actually reporting it to me now, I feel like, yay, I feel some kind of way. It's very sad, because I read about it, but then now that I'm actually listening to it, the lives that have actually been lost, the injuries, the multitude of pain that's probably happening there, it's like, yo. And as we said, these are the first rains.
Yes.
How many other rural areas is this going to affect?
Yeah.
Because we saw this last year in KZN.
Yes.
It's happening now.
It's happening again in the Eastern Cape.
It's going to happen again in KZN, because we know that the steep hills in KZN, that thing always happens.
In natural disasters, they are turned KZN.
Too much.
They turned
because their ground is not that heavy.
It's not.
Even Nalapa in our rural areas in Eastern Cape, it's going to happen.
It will.
But we're waiting for the disaster to happen.
To happen so that we can take action. You know, Yazi, shame, yo.
I feel like, for me, like, inkluso ngomthandazo mna guys, I feel like it's very important that we pray about such things. Pray about these people whose lives have been lost.
Yeah.
And just pray that a situation like this, there's something that happens that it can be avoided. Or rather, abantu bancedeke, basindiseke from such calamities and atrocities. Because it's a very sad thing to hear. Umntana wesikolo going to school. Because that child could have been the only hope of their family.
Exactly.
That child could have been the only hope of their family. But okay, this is the beacon of light that we have in this family. And now that beacon of light is dimmed because of floods. Yes, it's a natural disaster, but then how can we actually put infrastructures that help?
And you know, the government of South Africa, and that's honestly, you know, unfair. As much as we can say, you know, we're sticking with prayer, we're living with prayer. Yes, as we should condone that so much, you know. But at the very same time, what is the government doing about it? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, little children. These are little children that we're talking about
here. We pay our taxes for such things.
For such things. Taxes are being paid each and every month.
You can't tell me that you have an airport in Mthatha, but then you don't have roads.
Like, make it make sense.
Ah.
You're right, Shane.
My condolences as Madiba's Radio go out to the families that have lost their loved ones, and hopefully the injured ones get help.
Yes.
We very much pray that they are all well, those who are injured and that they actually survived, and that we can put things that prevent such things happening in South Africa as a whole.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, so that is it from us today. So we spoke about Trump and Elon Musk. You know, do we think they will reconcile in the future? Then we also spoke about, you know, Mthatha, the devastating floods in Mthatha. So, Vuyisanani, tell me, do you really not think that there's hope for Trump and Elon? Be honest now. You know, be honest.
They might reconcile.
Mm-hmm.
Only because the other one is going to offer the other one power or money. Or something that they want.
But you can't end with that tend to.
Yeah, that's the only way that they're going to connect. Is because Conor Lindai Funai. Then they can say, okay, fine, Trump, I'm fine, Trump. Because at the end of the day, these are businessmen. And they're bartering for Sapalina. As long as they can clearly communicate their relationship to that abazo chomi, the business partners, and the business is America. The business is the world. So it's a funny thing that people don't understand that a country is a business. Katina, we just have a horribly ran business. That's our country. Because it's CEOs there too. The president, the government, everybody that's involved is not actually treating it like a business, treating it like a profitable business, because we have our gold, selling it for cheap scrap.
Sana.
We have
diamonds.
Diamonds, selling that for cheap scrap. We have land. Well, we don't have land.
And we don't have land. Say food.
They have safe land. Food. Who they is that? Is, I'm going to leave you viewers with that question. Who has land? But then for me, we'll see what happens. That's been us. Do you think they are going to reconcile?
I think there's hope. But, okay, I feel like I'm very neutral about it. Let me just end it at that. I'm very neutral. Whatever happens, happens. It's up to them. But by Afunilungis, really don't care. You know, kakate yenza ke Melika asingeni ndawo here, you know. And yeah, so guys, that has been it from us, your favorite host of all time. Yes, so please also follow me on the social. Vuyisanani, do you have a social media account? Like India Bosa, I'm from Yazi.
Give me some time.
Guys, can you guys talk to Vuyisanani to create like some sort of so I know Nizad, you're right. Unabile umtu ongena social media. Maka create. How are you guys gonna reach out to him?
I do have YouTube.
What the hell? What the hell, man? Like chili, like
Okay guys, trust and believe, I'm gonna make an account for y'all. Just to post whatever. You know, we'll see what happens.
Start small. Instagram.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna have a TikTok, and then first song I'm gonna sing the "You deserve the best." You deserve the best. I'm
you gonna, deserve.
And we say you deserve the best too, viewers at home.
Yes, definitely.
This has been Madiba's Radio, the call out where we connect, inform, and engage. And I am Karabo Tswana Daniels. I'm kidding.
Yes.
And my host is
Karabo Daniels. It's been nice. Until next time.
Peace.
Hey everybody, Luyolo Mkhalipi here, SABC Sports presenter. You're listening to Extra Time on Madiba's Radio.
Madiba's Radio.
What is up, Madiba's fam? It's another week and it's another episode right here on Madiba's Radio podcast. And you're listening to Extra Time with myself, Rabone Chobane. Now, you've been introduced to the Extra Time squad. Everybody from Extra Time has got an opportunity to give an episode. So now we're switching it up. We're switching up the combinations. And of course, today I'm joined by two of the sports enthusiasts. Yes, let me call them sports enthusiasts. And yeah, guys, welcome back. You know, how's it going?
I'm very tired. I don't remember the last time I had a good 8 hours of sleep.
Real.
8 hours of sleep is no longer some requirement to do. You just have to sleep that 2 hours, then wake up.
But that's not healthy. We should not be living like that. Like, especially me, I was writing on Monday and I was writing on Tuesday. So I didn't even get sleep like that.
Maybe we'll catch up during the recess on sleep.
Right, exactly. That's what I always think. Every time like I'm up and I'm like, I'm wasting time. Like, I should not be sleeping. And it's always like, no, I'll sleep later. Because yesterday, on Tuesday, I came back from my exam. I had a 9 o'clock till 12 o'clock exam. I came back with a half 12 shift. I was asleep from 2 till 6.
Every time you get a chance, just sleep.
There's no time.
And you see, like, you need to sleep, but then at the same time, you sleep, you feel so guilty, but it's so necessary.
Exactly my point. But then again, who would sleep if the sports world is so busy? There's no time to sleep with the sports world that's so busy. And of course, the 99th edition of the legendary Comrades Marathon was in full swing this past weekend. Tete Dijane claimed top honors in the men's race, while Gerda Steyn took home the ultimate prize in the women's race, adding yet another chapter to her incredible running legacy. Did you guys watch the Comrades?
No.
I read about it.
Thing is, with me growing up, like the morning of the Comrades, SABC was always on. Like, it would stay on the whole day at home, and we just come check updates with my parents, be like, who's winning? Who's in the lead? This is the top 10. Listen, one day I'm gonna run the Comrades. One day, just give me some time and I'll run it. And of course, the FBK Games World Athletics Continental Tour is still continuing in Helgelo, Netherlands, as part of the World Athletics Continental Tour Gold. South Africans Marene Fourie brought home a silver medal in the women's 100-meter hurdles, showcasing her consistency on the global stage. Meanwhile, the young and electrifying Bayanda Walaza continues to dazzle in the sprints this season. He's definitely one to watch heading into the Olympics. Have you guys, like, watched and followed on his journey?
Not exactly, but what I've noticed is that South Africa is dominating in athletics.
We're dominating in everything.
In Africa and also in the world.
Like, everything is just domination after domination after domination. Like they say, no DNA, just RSA. Literally. Like, Bayanda, wow, he's always coming for something, all the time.
Rassie Erasmus has announced a 54-man Springbok squad set to face the Barbarians, Italy and Georgia. A special moment for Asenathi Nhlabakanye, who receives his first ever national call-up. A dream come true for the powerhouse. Congratulations to him. Like, I saw... Guys, did you see the training kit? What do we think about it?
I haven't seen it, so I can't say anything about it. I've been off Instagram. Let me start at the fact that I've been off Instagram.
Off social media.
Totally.
As a whole.
Temporary or are we talking permanently?
No, just now.
Yeah, I was about to say, also, now.
I don't have a phone right now.
What happened to you?
It's just an advantage for me. I gave it to someone.
Oh.
So that it must not distract me.
I thought you lost it. I was like, no, what are you doing? No, that is making you lose your
phone.
But it's
not safe in North Campus. There's someone who got mugged today.
Oh, yeah. Kind of you live in... Hey.
Yeah, so it's kind of not safe. But they can do nothing to me. I trust myself.
Okay.
Moving on to the United Rugby Championship. The stage is set for the Vodacom URC final. In the semi-finals, the Vodacom Bulls defeated the Hollywood Bets Sharks 25 points to 13. On the other side, Leinster defeated the reigning champions Glasgow 37 points to 19. The Bulls now head to face Leinster in what promises to be a fiery final clash. Local fans will be hoping the Bulls can bring it home.
They really will. Do you know why I'm saying this? When the game was playing, it was most the Sharks versus the Bulls. Right, and I had a lot of contacts backing the Bulls. Like, people were not on the Sharks side, and I don't understand why, because the Sharks is majority Springbok players, and people were like, a whole Springbok team beaten by the Bulls, and it's like, ish.
Like, who is dominating in this United Rugby Championship between Bulls and Sharks?
The Bulls. Yeah. The Bulls literally beat the Sharks, and now they're going to the finals, and the Sharks ended in the semi-final.
Wow, sorry for them.
With that match, I just felt like it was the Bulls' time, because in the group stages, the Sharks had already beaten the Bulls twice. So the third time around in the semifinals, I don't think they would have let it go, let that opportunity slip.
So they had something to...
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of talks about Lucanio Arms' play that day. Like, people were saying they're not impressed. They're not impressed with the way he played that semi-final game specifically.
And not just Lucanio. Remember also the kickers. Like,
yay,
the amount of kicks that were missed. Because
That brings in the question, are we even ready for these upcoming test series?
Mm. And you know what interests me about the upcoming test series, right? Like, the Springboks, the first game is on the 28th of June. Now, apparently, the Barbarians, they slowly introduce who's going to be playing, being part of their squad, right? Yeah. And an interesting fact, the coach of the Barbarians, he approached a Stormers player, like, from South Africa. He's interested in him.
Poached.
Mm. So imagine playing against your country, but you're from that country.
Yeah,
so.
Betrayal. Hashtag betrayal. Betrayal on a whole nother. So, of course, it's shocking. I mean, the whole Sharks, like, majority of the Sharks team is filled with Springbok players, and they couldn't pull through.
I also thought that Sharks is dominating in South Africa.
They are. Are they not number one ranked? I think they're number one ranked.
Yes, they took the South African Shield.
Mm.
Because it is the only team I know.
Please go do some research. and get to know the other teams. There's the Pumas from Mpumalanga. There's the Toyota Cheetahs from the Free State. There is the Blue Bulls from Pretoria. We have the Lions in Johannesburg. We have the DHL Stormers in the Western Cape. And I think Western Province as of... We don't... Eastern Cape doesn't have a team. Like, I'm not going to count...
Why Eastern Cape does not have a team? Because we had one. It's dominating with rugby. Always.
We had the Knights. We had the Knights a couple of years ago. I remember I went to go watch a game in 2018. It was the Cheetahs versus the Knights. The Griquas were from Northern Cape, if I'm not mistaken. We had a team, but you know... Money becomes an issue, and then teams fall out, and then there's no coaches, and then there's this and that. So
Eastern Cape doing their best,
right? Right. Unfortunately, so go research on the teams.
But you see, like with regards to this ERC final, you know what makes me worried? Like I hope they're going to be able to hold their own in Ireland, because like you see, Leinster, they're playing against Leinster. One thing to note is that Leinster, they've never lost at Croke Park. It's been 4 wins from 4. And also the last time the Leinster met the Bulls in a playoff, it was in the semi-finals.
Mm.
It was at Loftus. And the Bulls defeated Leinster in the semi. So obviously...
It could go either way. It could go either way.
Maybe it will be an interesting final.
It really will.
And also I think... They're going to want to win Leinster because of reputation. They topped the log in the group stages, so you don't want to...
But on top of that, the Bulls want to win so that they could be like, quiet, ain't no back talk, you know? Because they're talking a big game. The Sharks Sharks fans are not happy, but other people are happy.
You can't beat me and then lose in the final.
Exactly. So there's a lot of pressure. And if they do win, then it's they won for South Africa. So there's also that to look at.
The Springbok women made a dominant start to the Rugby Africa Women's Cup in Madagascar, crushing Uganda with a 67-7 victory, a statement performance that sets the tone for the tournament. And not only for the Africa tournament, I feel like it also sets the tone for the Women's Rugby World Cup, which takes place in England from the 22nd of August up until the 27th of September, 72 days from now.
Like, that's... Yeah. The fact that they even, like... Guys, I haven't had time to watch anything like that.
Sometimes rugby is very embarrassing. How can you have a difference of skin? It's better to play soccer. The difference can never be greater than 6.
Yeah.
The difference is greater than 60.
But thing is, it's the pointing system that gets the points to 67 to 7.
That's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. Marawaira.
He's putting it out there.
Just letting it be known, like, genuinely. I haven't had a chance. I said there's only one game I've watched.
Yeah.
And that's the UEFA final. That's the only game I've watched. All the other games, not that I don't have the time, I've just been so occupied with school. So I literally, and another reason why I watched the UEFA game is because I was hate watching. I was hate watching on Portugal. So I had to sit down and channel.
But there was Yamal. There was Yamal of yours.
Yeah, but it's like, we didn't win.
But it did nothing.
Don't say you didn't do nothing. So that's not funny. Let's not play like that. Let's not play like that.
Okay, there is UEFA Nations League 2025. There was a drama. The UEFA Nations served us a plenty of drama and goals. Germany, who was beaten by Portugal in the semifinals by 2-1, and France was beaten by Spain by 5-4, and then France won the third place by 2-0 to Germany. And the final was very hectic, by Portugal drawing with Spain 2-2 and winning by 5-4 on penalties, clinching the 2025 UEFA Champions in UEFA Nations League title. What a tournament. That was the best moment I've watched for Ronaldo.
It was a good game. Shame, it was a very good game. Like, but I was hate watching.
Like, even if I was supporting Portugal there, I still had Mbappe didn't go to the finals. That was the bad thing.
Mbappe, someone like World Cup next year. Someone like World Cup next year.
For the credit there for the Portugal win, I am not giving Ronaldo.
He didn't do anything.
Like, it got a red card. There were 10 players who were playing. The person that needs the credit is Nuno Mendes.
Yes. That's the best player. Ronaldo,
like, even Yamal did nothing because there was Nuno Mendes there.
And I can make this comment because I watched the games. I can stand back on what I'm saying.
That, but if you watched Yamal in that, in that day, he did like almost nothing. I don't say he did nothing, but he did almost nothing because he was not
doing his best. But he did better than what Ronaldo put out.
He was not doing his best. He was not cutting in because there was Nuno Mendes. He was not going on the line because Nuno Mendes was there. So I think
Nuno Mendes was the man there. Coming for everything and everyone, but genuinely that win was not... Yes, it was the win for Ronaldo, but it wasn't a win by Ronaldo.
Yes, it was win for Ronaldo. Because Ronaldo's fans are saying that Portugal didn't win, Ronaldo won.
With what did he do? Because just get a goal, they won.
They are not supporting Portugal. They're supporting Ronaldo. So that is why they say Ronaldo won.
That's why you must and be a Messi fan. And Messi
picking up.
Yes! Me!
Why? He didn't, you know, even, Messi, yeah. He didn't even participate in that tournament.
So what?
Why, guys?
The beef is long, okay? The beef and hate goes back years.
I think they need to retire so that we have...
Ronaldo needs to retire, but I don't think he's going to retire. Not with the World Cup coming.
No.
He's not going to retire.
I'm not sure he's going to retire. That
man. I think Messi has a higher chance of retiring before Ronaldo.
Because he's not looking forward to playing Messi.
Why?
Ronaldo is still looking to do something for Portugal. He's still looking for the World Cup. Messi, what else does he want to do? He has done all.
Prove a point. Prove a point. G-O-A-T, the GOAT. Ronaldo. Ugh, whatever.
Then going for Bafana Bafana updates. In their recent international friendlies in Polokwane, Bafana Bafana started off with a goalless draw against Tanzania, but they bounced back in style, securing a convincing 2-0 win over Mozambique on Tuesday evening. A solid performance from Hugo Broos's men as they continue preparations ahead of the upcoming qualifiers. Like, I was watching the second match. The first match, I didn't watch it.
The one with Tanzania?
Yes, the one with Tanzania. Yeah, that draw, I didn't watch it. And thanks God, I didn't watch it. Then this one, I was not exactly watching because I was starting yesterday. But I was always looking at the score because there was this stigma that if there were no Sundowns players, the Bafana Bafana is not worth it. So when they won, I was like, they did something to...
Silence, prove a point,
to prove the point that we don't need Sundowns players to be winning.
And also at halftime, it was a goalless draw. Yeah. So then I wonder what was said in the change room to come back with a 2-0 win. And so
Bruce was probably like, "You better work when you get out there."
And especially since that Mozambican goalkeeper, he came out to play, the amount of goals that he saved,
Listen, guys, even there's money on the line. And your check is at risk. You will put in all your power. And when speaking of Sundowns players, my housemate and I were speaking about the fact that we think, because apparently there was talks of Ronaldo wanting to join an African club, and we were like making speculations on which club we think. And she was like, and you know, Sundowns could buy Ronaldo, but then it's like they're gonna buy him, and then what? Like it's not gonna do anything. They're already number one on the log. Like, having Ronaldo there, it's not like the team needs a booster or like someone who's gonna come here and make a difference, because they're already as good. So it's like he's gonna come here just for the sake of saying we have Ronaldo on the Sundowns team.
To introduce Ronaldo into South Africa.
I was about to say that they don't really need them. They don't really need him. And the thing is, once you have too many players, some people won't get time. Playing time, you see. That's the thing.
Because we always talk about Sundowns is not a development club. It's not a club that signs players that they want to groom and grow and develop. They don't have time for that. They don't have time for that.
They Sundowns just buy the player that already
yes, is they good want for them. Develop players and put you on the field. Pirates, for sure. Pirates will groom you and they will baby you and they will watch you crawl and they'll watch you become a they literally, and that's like, I think one of the things that I love about development, the club.
In the squad there were four of them.
Mm.
It's Lepe, Mbogazi and Gordon also Mfokas. So those were our cocomelons.
Yeah. And look at them.
And I'm proud of Pirates. Yeah. It has done something.
That is a that's a club that genuinely works on developing and building and growing athletes. Sundowns wants you ready and built and experienced. And then...
And what also amazes me is who is releasing players in Pirates?
Hey, Andes. I know I could say. Hey!
Marco is released. Munyan is released. I understand Mayela. Maybe he's retiring. And also Tim is retiring. Why Marco? Why Munyan?
Maybe they'll tell us one day.
Apparently, the captain is getting a management position within the club.
Allegedly.
He is retiring. Oh. Why? That's bad.
Okay.
And also, talking about last week, Bafana Bafana, Team B in COSAFA, they have a mixed results in the 2025 COSAFA Cup group stage so far. They lost against Mozambique, and then they won against Zimbabwe, securing their place in the semifinals. And what I've noticed about South Africa, in their first match, they lose.
And then,
and
yes.
And lose by 1-0, then afterwards they pick up.
I think it's also, this also now brings me back to the Springboks when they got in the World Cup. They have to lose one pool game, and then straight sailing from there. That's always the case. I feel like it's our secret.
That's our secret.
It's our secret weapon. One loss, and then win after win after
and win. I believe that South Africa is going to win this COSAFA Cup.
Oh, definitely. Nah, backing them 100%.
But there are a lot of talks in that COSAFA Cup, because the players that have gone there, they believe that they are those who failed to go to the Team A that is playing the friendlies. And also, there is include Kaizer Chiefs players there.
Yeah.
But I think all of them are not playing. Most of them are not playing. So Chiefs players are protesting.
Yeah.
Like, why their players are not playing while they are being called
there. Do they really want to know the answer to that? But I mean,
Hugo Boss made it clear.
Exactly. That's what I'm like. Do they clear. Really? Come on. Like, what are we doing?
What can you offer for me?
Absolutely. Anyways.
Then for the group stage roundup, South Africa drew by 0-0 to Mauritius. Mozambique lost to Zimbabwe by 3-1. Namibia won by 3-0 to Lesotho. Malawi were defeated by Angola by 1-0 to goal. Then Angola secured their place in the semifinals, and also South Africa secured their place in the semifinals.
Child.
And I think this was also some heat up in the last games of the group stages, because Zimbabwe won there, but their own did nothing for them because South Africa was dominating there.
And the way you speak about clubs, skills was like it did nothing for them. Like
their win was insufficient because South Africa had also dominated that top league for them.
Mm.
And also Namibia won, but it's nothing. Angola by one goal then secured their place in the semifinals. So that was the crucial win for them.
I see they're playing on Friday the 13th. Who are they going to play against?
They're just waiting there.
Yet to be decided.
It's nice to win prior, because you just stay there and then look who's gonna who's coming for me.
But now if you're like the second semi-final, then it's like a thing of, ish. Okay, if we win, this is who we're playing against. If they win, then it's over for us. Oh. Yeah. And of course, we have the PSL promotion relegation players for 2025, and a battle for a spot in next season's DStv Premiership is officially underway, with Cape Town City, Orbit College, and Kasserik Stars all in connection. And here's how the fixtures are lined up.
Cape Town City takes on Orbit College on Saturday, the 14th of June at 3 p.m. Kasserik Stars versus Cape Town City on Wednesday, the 18th of June at 3 p.m.
Kasserik Stars take on Orbit College on Saturday, the 21st of June at 3 o'clock. Orbit College takes on Cape Town City again on the Wednesday, 25th of June at 3 o'clock. And also Cape Town City will take again Kasserik Stars on Sunday, the 30th of June at 3 o'clock. 5 crucial games left, 3 determined teams, and only one ticket to the big team. Expect the fireworks.
When did Cape Town City get out of the league?
They they won against Pirates, and they posted on their social media, they said that we remained humble, but their humbleness put them into
your 15. Because I was more like, I'm seeing my Cape Town City.
Like, Cape Town City is always dominating. Every time it's playing against a big team, they dominate. They want to win. But when they play against the small teams.
I wonder what the cause of that. Like, I don't know.
But I believe Cape Town City is going to come back.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's not, I've never even heard of these teams.
Casting Stars.
All the college.
But they were lucky because Royal AM was already putting a place for the Durban Stars. Because if there was no Royal AM, maybe they would be sitting on number 16 and they...
I heard talks of Bloemfontein Celtic coming back. I heard talks about it a few weeks ago.
I think they need to come back.
They want to. Oh, guys, if I had money now, buy the club myself. I would buy it back myself. Because genuinely, I saw it, but I said to my friend, I was like, yo, we're back, most. Like, Bloom is going to be Bloom again. But it's like, talk. It's just talk. And I saw it weeks ago, and I haven't seen anything.
Is Royal M going to come back?
Yeah, I don't think they come back.
Yeah, no, I doubt. I think because with the already scandal,
they are not part of the PSL as of now because their place is taken by Durban City.
And the scandalism behind the club as well.
And also, what I fear is the son of Mamkize was playing. Who's going to buy him?
Andile, more than anything, he can buy people. He doesn't have to worry about who's going to buy him. He can buy them.
He can buy them to where? Because there's no team now.
Exactly. Because, yeah, the scandal, the videos that would come out about the team and the way when it came to them getting paid, the players now. I remember I saw this video and they were on the pitch and he was holding envelopes and he was running around with the envelopes and the players are running after. Like... Embarrassing.
They started that in a bad step.
Yeah, like they did not give
the
club.
Showing off. They're exactly. They're not playing football.
Like I'm your boss. Like I put food in your mouth. Chase me. Like how childish are we? Like you're taking away the whole professionalism aside. Like I think that was just plain disrespectful. It was just plain disrespectful.
That's not good.
Like clearly you don't.
While paying me off. In the field.
Exactly.
Because payment is something.
Lack of respect for your players. Clearly, you don't respect, you don't put them on the pedestal that you want people to put you on. Because if you respected your players, it would be a private transaction in the locker room, whatever the case is. Now you want to show off to people just for the sake of saying, I own you. And look where that ended you.
And in depth.
There's just so much going on at that club, yo.
Oh, I was never a fan of that club. You after got bought. I was not a fan. And I remember I've watched the Royal AM game. I watched I think it was 2022. It was the Makufe Cup. They were playing against Kaizer Chiefs. So I had to back Kaizer Chiefs that day. I was hate watching Royal AM that day. Genuinely, I had a whole Kaizer Chiefs stamp on my face. Like, I was backing them fully. And they did win.
Even if Chiefs can play any team, I would support that team. I hate Kaizer Chiefs.
But
the reason I'm hating Kaizer Chiefs is that I was like grown up forced to support Kaizer Chiefs because it was my father's team.
And then when I grew up, I
realized that this is not a team to support.
What team do you support?
Pirates. We're Pirates.
Malanda Pirates fan.
We're Pirates. Like, what is Chiefs?
But for now, because this club, World Cup, I'm supporting Sundowns Day.
Of course.
But Anthony Lafour has stated his point. He said that Mikel Cardoso will never win that cup. The only person that can manage Mamelodi Sundowns is Bisso Mosimane. And I believe him. Because all the coaches after Bisso Mosimane have never done what Bisso Mosimane did.
Yes.
They're just winning the league, which is something consistent. They have never won a cup. It's 4 years now without a cup. Only winning this.
Well, Pizzo must go there by Pirates. Because we don't have a coach anymore.
Pizzo, it's someone who will not do the culture of Orlando Pirates. Pizzo Mosimane believe on developed players. And Pirates believe
is on developing the players.
So that will be some conflict. I think Rulani can do it.
Yeah. Also, you almost forgot, actually. There was a notice that came out, a press What? Media release, yes. A media release about the appointment of a new head coach for Chipa United. They appointed Mr. Senior Themba Badela as the new head coach of the Chipa United Football Club. And, yeah, for the 2025-2026 season. So
I hope, like, that coach stays there for long. Because Chipa United has this thing of always chasing coaches away.
Hey, there's so many things going on.
If you don't do what we want you to do, chase
you're
you away.
Gone.
Let's go away.
Yeah, there's a lot, especially when it comes to South African clubs, there's a lot of politics that go towards it.
Football is mixed with politics.
Yeah. But I think it's like that with all the sports, because people, like the same thing now with regarding the Springboks and why the ticket prices are so high compared to when other national teams play. It's all political, guys. Like,
and also SAFA is in problem with these matches that was been playing recently, because Amachita, when they were going to play against Mozambique, they traveled by bus, but the officials were traveling
by flight,
using the flight.
No bonus for the coach for an entire cup.
Less than 50,000 per. Then Hugo Bros is earning one million. So there are talks. Why?
Like, is it you, difference generally, there? I'm loving the whole. What is it? I don't know what they call it.
The portfolio.
The portfolio reviews that they've been doing, especially with sports. I watched the netball one and how an influence. Hey, guys. Yo. I could go on and on and on. But, like, genuinely, we don't have enough time. But I could genuinely go on. The way that money's being spent for sports codes that they don't take on a high regard is absolutely disgusting.
And remember, there was also the saga, you know, the president of Netball South Africa being suspended by World Netball.
Imagine.
An international organization.
Suspends us. There's so much. There's politics everywhere. Politics are, like, now this is a bit off topic, how people don't say, when you meet someone, they're like, no, I don't do politics. Politics will do you. Yeah. You are going to be affected
by saying
by
that you're not doing politics. That's being political.
Exactly. That I know. I don't do politics. Like, I can say that
politics makes sports being interesting, because there's politics and also there's sport. So they are combining there. That's interesting.
But thing is, if you don't want to do politics, trust and believe politics will do you. Because now you're complaining that Springbok tickets are 2,000 rand.
That's because of politics.
Exactly. Because Saru's like, and it's genuinely Saru, like, because people are asking, and the fact that no one is saying anything, like, Springboks, they're not releasing a statement to explain it. They're just letting everyone scramble and crash out on social media about the prices, and they're just watching it, and they're like, anyways. Response. Yeah.
And also another thing that I saw with regards to that, they said if people are saying if they keep their prices high, then the stadiums won't be as full anymore. Because, for example, a person was saying, now I can't take my family to go and watch and support the Springboks, you see. Because, for example, a ticket, it can be like now these days, 3,000 rand. It's almost...
That's two wigs for me.
Exactly.
That's two whole wigs. Like... For that 3,000 rand more, because I think the Bafana Bafana was playing and Bafana Bafana tickets were 60 rand. Yeah. Now with that 3,000 rand, that's just one person. Mm. And the crazy thing is, these matches are taking place at the same stadiums. It's not like it's a whole other stadium, like the one that's taking place in PE. It's at the, like, Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium, which hosts everyone who plays. So it's like, it's not even about the stadium, it's about the organization that is running, whether it being SAFA or that being SARU. But hey guys, that wraps up this week's latest edition of Extra Time right here on Madiba's Radio Podcast. Whether it's track, field, rugby or football, our athletes continue to make us proud.
Catch you next week, and as always, stay active, stay informed and stay Madiba strong.
Okay, that was the wrap up for us. Keep up here. Keep up there. Keep those vuvuzela blowing, because we are coming back with something more next week.
Thanks for joining myself, Ibanati and Lolonga. We will see you. We will meet you next week on the next episode of Extra Time.
The best youth station in the Bay. Madiba's Radio.